live from the Eagle Newsroom in Bryan. It's Aggie Nation, covering Aggie football since the first game in 1894 and every game since. Talking all things A&M and all the pro and high school sports you want to hear. Aggie Nation on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Powered by the Eagle Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna. We're brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the great events coming to you. The season dreams are made of at mscopus.org. All the information on tickets and all the great events and shows coming in there at mscopus.org. You can call us 693-1150 or you can text us 229-1939 is the text line. And you got to add that 979 if you're out of town, or I don't know how all that works, but maybe you have to add 979. Maybe you don't. It's 229-1939. Lori Corbelli is going to join us a little bit. Sam Conn will be here later. We're going to have all the usual Tuesday shenanigans. We'll have the high school report later on. But Cease, it's Astros Day. Game tonight. Are you psyched?
No.
Yeah, because you're a Pirates don't play till
correct.
Tomorrow. You have a newsroom battle between you and Jeff.
It's true.
Jeff, a big Cubs guy. You a Pirates guy. We've got Rangers guys out here, too, so the next few weeks could be trying times. Trying times over here.
Well, we hope it's trying times. It could be over pretty quick for some of us.
Yeah, me and you and Jeff could all be out tomorrow. So,
one of us has to be out.
One of y'all has to win, and one of y'all has to be out. But we will see how it goes. I got my jersey on. I'm ready to go, Cease. As soon as
when I come in, the first thing I looked at you and I said, "Man, Yankees got to feel good."
I tweeted out a photo of myself in the jersey.
Oh my
earlier. Gosh,
you didn't do that, did you?
No. But here's what people think: I look like Evan Gattis, and I
would have never thought that.
I'm like a fatter Evan Gattis.
Okay,
but
I was gonna say that.
Yeah,
but you brought it up.
But
okay.
We do both lack hair on our head and have beards, so I can see the comparison.
But I can't, but that's okay.
I get where people are coming from. I don't think we look that much alike, but I can at least get where people are coming from. Let us know, where y'all watching the game tonight? Are you watching the game tonight? Who's your team? What are you doing? All that kind of stuff. Hit us up, 229-1939. We're going to talk a lot A&M football, other teams playing football, especially when we get Sam in here later. We tell y'all this every week, that when we sit down with Kevin Sumlin and on the press conference and hear what he has to say, and we ask our questions that we want to ask, and I don't like that all the press conferences are like streamed and everything, because everyone knows what I'm planning on writing about now. Anyone that heard my questions.
Well, everybody that asks, you know what you're doing. Yeah,
so everyone knows what you're doing. But sometimes in there you get a quote or something that you find interesting and that maybe you weren't expecting to hear. And I thought it was interesting today because they didn't do it a lot last year. Cease, but since then they've done it a little more and more and more, and that's thrown last year's team, at least from a mental standpoint, under the bus a little bit. And they did it more today by saying this team was, you know, night and day compared to last year. The quote that stuck out to me was Sumlin saying that the mental aspect of football is something that they neglected. That was his word. He chose that word, neglected, last season. And I thought that was a really interesting quote because someone's not new to coaching. I mean, he knows what it takes for teams to be successful. And to say that they completely neglected it last year, I thought that was an interesting quote. Cease.
Well, I think once again, when you lose the way they lost, you have to come up with some answers. We don't know if they're the right answers. We'll find out moving forward. And when they're not the right answers, coaches won't tell you that either. We know that what happened last year wasn't right. So I thought also was very telling. You also, everybody, you're right, everybody picks up different things. I thought one of the first things I picked up, he quickly said, we have a different quarterback. And I think, once again, in his offense,
right,
you've got to have a different, you know, it starts at the top with Sumlin and his coaching. And I think going back to Aiden Christensen and Chavis was big. I think changing quarterbacks. And I'm not going to throw Kenny Hill underneath the bus.
They did throw Kenny Hill underneath the bus.
But I get it. But
yeah.
I also believe Kenny Hill threw himself underneath the bus.
Yeah, he did.
Because I think there was some off-the-field issues that is going to come out in someone's book somewhere or whatever. And I just think there was a lot more to that team that we didn't know. And even Drew Kayser going through the people today, and the hard hitters they had out there today was Connor McQueen, Drew Kayser, Julian Obiha, and
Avery Genesee.
But I also thought it was funny when someone asked Kayser, what's the difference between this year's team and last year's team? And he gave a small, short answer, and then someone pointed out, well, what about they also have three new coaches? And he came back and he said, no, I think it's the chemistry of the players. And once again, that's being honest. We talked about, but I always think it does go back a lot of times that players have to take ownership. And we can sit here and say that, oh, gee, they need to do this, they need to do that. But it's bottom line, if the team players do not take ownership of the team, it doesn't matter what the coaches do. To a certain extent.
The other quote that stuck out to me was when Svavidal said that last year there was a lot of finger pointing on the team. And again, they mention and they said directly, we're not reading it way into the tea leaves here. This was thinly veiled at best.
Well,
asked the biggest difference, and someone said personnel. And he even specifically mentioned quarterback. And like you said, they're not just. They're throwing Kenny Hill under the bus explicitly almost for some of the lack of, you said, chemistry on last year's team, which I thought was interesting. They usually shy away from that kind of stuff, and normally will just kind of say, you know, here's what we've improved. They don't want to talk about what went wrong and stuff like that. But like I said, that stuck out to me today, that the more and more they go along, and it's one of those deals that, did they know then? Then becomes my question. Because if there was all this finger pointing and all this locker room chemistry problems, why didn't they bench Kenny Hill? Is my question, Cease. Was it just that he was playing so well?
I go back to two things. I'll use my experience this. Number one, covering this program, and you've been around the program the same amount of time, how can you not but want to throw the defense underneath the bus the last couple years, a couple times? Because no matter what the offense did, they could score 45, and you'd say, hey, this team might lose. So you had to throw the defense underneath the bus at certain times. And then when you come along and you decide Kenny Hill is the man last year for whatever reason, and I always go back to is one of the men I always admired coming up cover was Merrill Green. He was a local high school coach here for Brian. He retired, but he was definitely in the college game. He was under Frank Borrell's staff, whatever. And I asked him the same question at one time when the team fell apart, and he said, hey, as coaches, you invest a lot, da-da-da. You a lot of times you'll get halfway through a season, he said, and you realize that you are relying on turds, guys that are just absolutely – not what you thought they would be, but you're so far in for the good of the team, you have to stay the course even though you know the ship's gone down. There's nothing you can do, so to speak. And I always remembered that because someone said another thing. We're only around those guys for 3.5 hours. They're around those guys day after day, you know, now week after week, month after month. And last year this time, everybody's feeling good, 5-0, whatever. They invested a lot in Kenny Hill. But they kept saying probably, I don't know about this. And then when those – and they go, see, I told you. But you reach – I firmly believe you reach certain point. It'd be like right now, they come in and go, hey, you know, Aubrey's a really horrible host. I could have told you guys that, but, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying is
– Well, it is.
It's just one of those things. That's what I've learned. You know, you just reach a point where you hope it works out. And sometimes it comes back like the Oakland A's, the great. They go, hey, we won, but sometimes we don't know how we won because so-and-so didn't get along and da-da-da.
Well, and I guess it's one of those things that when you're in it, you know, it's sometimes hard to look, you know, you don't realize it when you're in it. You realize it looking back, but that's the thing that
but
got
you
to
build,
me.
I think you build on that and you learn from that and they learn from that.
Yeah, well, and that's why they are where they're at this year. They've got a chance to do some big things. That's what stuck out to me. Somebody texted, Aubrey, what was with all the self-assessment questions in the press conference? Was it really that amazing? Just curious. No, this is what I was hinting at a while ago. If you want to do a story or a blog or whatever about something, you've got to ask it
questions.
In the press conferences because that's the only time that we get to – ask the coaches questions. Mm-hmm. We don't get like a side interview or anything like that. We only get that press conference. So, I don't know. I was interested in the self-scouting thing, especially the dynamic of Jake Spavadal, who's really only had two seasons as a play caller, compared to John Chavis, who's had like 40 now or whatever it is. He's been a defensive coordinator forever. And I didn't even know if I really wanted to write about it. I was just asking the questions to see if the answers were interesting. And I thought they were. I thought there were some good answers there, so I'll probably do something with that this week. But that's why, you know, and it's the same deal. Brent Zwerneman asks every single person who gets up there about Avery Genesee. Well, that's because
he's doing a feature.
That's because Avery Genesee is one of the guys we got to interview today, so he wants to do a feature on Avery Genesee, so he's got to ask every single person about Avery Genesee.
In mine was I was going to write a column on the values of a bye week.
When does it?
So you have to ask everybody the question. Now, what I have to laugh is, and we're telling some trade secrets, when you go in, and you do have to decide what you're going to write about this week. You go in, and you're right. You might have one or two questions to Sumlin. Same thing with the coordinators. And sometimes you'll go in with an idea, and it's absolutely horrible. But suddenly there's a great answer. I'm going to switch my top subject. I'm going to go do that. We do piggyback off somebody because you go, man, I'm glad they asked that question. And sometimes, man, I never thought about that. I should ask that question.
Well, and that's the other thing is with Sumlin, his answers are so long that
he'll go off target.
Well, you only get to ask about six or seven. Questions total. So if you come in there without a plan, you know, like last year, they mentioned the self-scouting thing, but it was like too late to write about it because you didn't go in there with the plan of writing about that. So you had to. I thought about that yesterday because they talked about so much of it last year that I thought I'd see. I know that they're not going to go. Yeah, we found out that every time it's third and one, we run to the weak side. You know,
we're horrible.
I know they're not going to say that. But I thought, you know, that's why I asked. You have to ask if you want to write about it. You got to ask.
Here's the deal for the texter. Aubrey's going through one of these self study courses now, so he's examining himself.
What it's funny though is I told you I tweeted about this and I was talking about this in the newsroom. People know it because someone else texted us.
Sure.
Said, will the Eagles sports staff be self-scouting during the bye week? We're always self-scouting at the Eagles sports staff, no question.
And sometimes we don't like what we see, but that's beside the point. So,
we'll see if an interesting story comes out of it. But
the reader thinks it's interesting.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. That's the thing, too. You can go in there with the plan, and then they don't give you what you're hoping to get, and you're like, well, that's going to be a crap story. So we'll move on. But I thought, especially Spav's answer, I thought was really good about how they handle that kind of stuff, because to me, the it's the process that's interesting. I know you kind of self-scout all the time, but I was more interested in, like, do they literally sit down and have the offensive staff say, hey, if we were playing against you this week, here's what we'd be doing? And it's what it sounds like.
Now, I do like the fact is Chavis is that way. He goes, Chavis came by my office a couple days ago.
Yeah, we'll see.
And said, if we get in this set, this is what he'd fear that they would do against him. And I'm thinking, if Chavis says that, I'm going to pay attention because that's going to hurt his defense.
Well, yeah, was a good little anecdote that came out of one of those questions.
I'm saying, boy, in today's society, you better hope that Saban doesn't have that office bugged because then, you know what you're going to see, because I wouldn't put anything past those Alabama fans.
Yeah, so that's, like I said, that's the background there. And like I said, you ask and you hope you get something good. That in particular, I thought, was an interesting note that he said, Chavis came by and gave me a suggestion.
And while we think like that, I'm glad the listener is the same way. Then there are the questions that I always say to myself, what kind of story are they getting out of that question?
I got to admit, with Spav, I'm guilty of that sometimes because his answers are so short that you could basically ask anything and you're going to be able to get a question in there, because you could ask some ridiculously long-winded question. It still takes him about 20 seconds to answer it.
He went to the Cliff Kingsbury School of Answers.
Yeah,
did you notice that?
You can get several questions in on Spav, so I admit that sometimes I ask him questions just to see what he says, and maybe it turns into something.
And sometimes you have to do that, because you're right, because this is the only time we get to ask him.
Well, and the other thing is, sometimes there's not enough questions. There's a lot of people in press conferences that aren't there to ask questions. I don't know if that makes sense, but they're either filming or there's a whole bunch of people in there, but there's not a whole bunch of people asking questions. So sometimes there's not quite enough questions. I do this at SEC Media Days in one of the rooms because sometimes there's people that don't want to ask questions. They just want to, you know, blog or transcribe.
They're working
or whatever.
while it's going on.
They're working while it's going on or whatever. But the thing is, you only get these people for about 15 minutes. So in the room at SEC Media Days, my thing has always been, you're going to keep asking questions, even if they're dumb questions. Just get them talking for all 15 minutes. So it's a little bit like that sometimes.
You drove the whole way to Birmingham. We're getting our money's worth
right.
out of this.
Yeah, exactly. So just things we got to do sometimes. So there you go. A little behind the scenes. So I said people would notice, and sure enough, a couple people texted about that. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk with Lori Corbelli, see what's going on in Aggie Volleyball this week. And then later on, Sam Connell will join us. Get your questions, your topics, your hot takes, whatever you want to send us. Get them in, 229-1939. We'll be back. It's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
It's the best time of year to buy from the best farm and tractor retailer in the Brazos Valley, Normandy Tractor. Get zero down payment, 0% financing, top dollar for your trade-in, and free delivery. Get the Kubota L2501F 25-horsepower two-wheel drive tractor with a 5-foot Land Pride shredder and a 5-foot Land Pride box blade with teeth. And $2,250 in rebates for only $11,245 or $160 per month. Want your tractor to do even more? Well, try the Kubota L2501 HST 25-horsepower tractor with four-wheel drive, Kubota front-end loader, 5-foot Land Pride shredder, and box blade with teeth. Get $2,250 in rebates. Pay only $18,145 or $231 per month. Why buy used when you can buy new with payments as low as these? That's why Normandy Tractor is known as the place to shop for all of your tractor, utility vehicle, and lawn equipment needs. Shop online at normandytractor.com, corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Normandy. And remember, nobody beats Normandy Tractor. Nobody.
October is here, but Halloween isn't till the 31st. But Rattlers has goodies for you every day, like Goodness Knows bars, 2 for only $3. Grab any size coffee or cappuccino to go with that for only 79 cents. Rattlers has in-store specials all the time, from hot dogs and chips to soft drinks. Make sure to stop by Rattlers on your way home from work and pick up any 12-pack from the fine families of beer, from Bud, Miller, and Coors, for only $10.99. Rattlers, friendly, clean, Texan.
Join the Brazos Valley Museum of Natural History for the Boonville Days Heritage Fair, Saturday, October 10th. Enjoy this free celebration of our heritage from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Activities will take place inside the museum and on the Brazos Center grounds. Learn about Brazos County's pioneer history, visit with characters in period costume, observe demonstrations of frontier skills and trades, see an authentic stagecoach, hear from a cowboy poet, and much more. Our activity area will keep children busy learning to make pinch pots and other period crafts. Boonville Days Heritage Fair, Saturday, October 10th at the Brazos Museum of Natural History, located at the Brazos Center.
Aggie fans, the Kevin Sumlin Radio Show is at Rudy's Barbecue on Harvey Road for the 2015 football season. Show features the coach, questions from the floor as he joins the fans to talk some Aggie football. It's 7 o'clock, Rudy's Barbecue on Harvey Road each Tuesday night. Of course, you'll hear it all here on the Aggie Radio Network. But we'll see you at Rudy's each Tuesday at 7. It's the Kevin Sumlin Radio Show. Come and join us for 1 hour of all things Texas A&M football.
There is so much happening in Aggie football this fall, you need to be attending the best live show around to stay up to date and on top of all things Aggie football. It happens every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1 at the Tap, and it's called the Belucci Hour. Get recruiting insight from Billy Lucci and Bryce Jones of Texax Radio every week, twice a week this fall. Plus, enjoy the Tap's delicious $7.99 lunch specials with all the bells and whistles. Make the Belucci Hour lunch a part of your week every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1.
Your home for Houston Texans football. Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone, 102.7 FM.
Go, go, Astro! Here come the Astros, burning with desire. Here come the Astros, green and orange fire. Here come the Astros, with winning on their mind. Here come the Astros, number one. Time.
Welcome back, Aggie slash Astros Nation. Next couple hours. Aggie Nation powered by the
Eagle. What about the Ranger fans?
They don't play today. Besides, we've thrown our this show's been in a tank for the Stros since the get-go, since I started doing it every day. So we do have some Rangers guys. I know Larry and David are Rangers guys. So I don't know what they'll do.
Dave Campbell is a big Rangers fan.
Yeah, so I said the Rangers guys. I don't know what they'll do on the high school report, Larry. Or Larry's an Astros
Larry's
guy.
Larry's a huge Astros.
David's a Rangers guy.
Get your facts straight.
I don't know what they're going to do on the high school. Maybe they're going to battle it out.
You need
this
to
week.
Do more self-evaluation.
I didn't self-scout the high school.
There you go.
Welcome back, Aubrey Bloom. Robert Sester. We're joined now as we are, I shouldn't say every Tuesday because I messed it up last week. See, so it was my fault. But almost every Tuesday, we're joined by A&M volleyball coach Lori Corbelli. Coach, how's it going?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
We're getting psyched up. You know, it's another week. It's a bye week, so we're still got a lot to do this week, but we finally get to take a little bit of a break this weekend and then get ready for what it's going to be a wild time around this town next week.
I know. We had a head coaches meeting this morning, and at the end of it, I looked down at Coach Sumlin and said, "Hey, Coach, have a great couple of weeks off, and good luck. You deserve that time off." And everybody was cracking up, like, whatever.
Yeah, should be fun. Let's start with Jasmine Babers. This is the story for you guys. You know, bounced back this weekend and had some big games, and we'll talk about that. But let's talk about her. A&M, she's your middle blocker. She was the defensive player of the week and the SEC player of the week. Why? Mm-hmm. What did she do to deserve those awards? What made that week so special for her?
It's funny because those are kind of her typical numbers. It's just that this week the SEC selected her as the top one. But she really has been putting up some great numbers this whole season. I mean, I don't know. Her blocking is, you know, blocking comes with a lot of experience. And now she's in her third season of being a starting middle. She's understanding, offense better and the fast attackers better. That's her primary responsibility are the quick attackers coming up in the middle of the court, and she's just really good at reading them. She gets her hands across the net really fast, and people just can't figure out how to get around her. And I think she's staying healthy. She does have some knee issues at times, but everybody does, you know, when you're in a jumping sport. And so especially those days where her knee's feeling really, really good, she's flying and has those great matches.
You guys had a couple matches over the last week, but won both of them 3-0 against Auburn and Ole Miss. Was it the competition? I don't know how good those teams are, or are you guys starting to come together a little bit after, I don't want to say a rough stretch necessarily, but y'all kind of alternated wins and losses there for a couple of weeks. Do you feel like this team's starting to come around a little bit?
Well, I do, actually. You know, it's kind of, we've been going now in competition for about 6 or 7 weeks, and you know, things are starting, and with the comings and goings of so many starters with either part-time injuries or illness, I had 7 players in the hospital on Saturday morning with a bug that half the travel party caught coming home from Auburn, and so we had to tolerate that and didn't get to practice at all. And yet the team is just kind of, I think, just kind of getting into a good rhythm and a good level of confidence, maybe a good just seeing what they can actually do when everybody's playing on their game. And it's such a total team sport, and the connection between players and all. So it's, I just think it's a combination of both. Our things are coming together. Our passing is certainly getting a lot better. Our serve receive, that was something we struggled with early, and our passers have improved tremendously, and it's really showing up in our numbers on offense.
Y'all also will be not here in town this weekend. I think talking to Coach G earlier, he said that soccer is the only show in town this week, and we'll talk to him about that later in the week. But y'all are heading out for 2 games. What can you tell us about Florida and South Carolina?
Yeah, we head out to Florida, who is usually, they've won the SEC championship, I guess the last couple of years, and Kentucky won it one of the previous few years, but they're always a top 10 team. I think they are now in the top 15. They are coming off 3 losses, which is, I think, the first time in the history of SEC that they've had 3 losses, and they're all in a row. They're on the road, and they are battling some injuries to some key players. And so, but it's taken every team to beat them in 5. And so 2.5 hours of battling, of, you know, trying to find a way to beat Florida. And in the end, these teams were able to figure out a way. And so it's never going to be easy. Going there, it's a very intimidating atmosphere. It's intended to be, obviously. And I think last year we didn't play well there. We did not do a good job competing at Florida. But I think this group is just a little more seasoned, and that doesn't affect them like it did maybe last year. And I think the way we're playing, I feel really good about our match at Florida. And then South Carolina, we head over there if they'll let us in.
I was going to ask if y'all are having any issues with your travel plans so far for South Carolina.
Not yet. But the team, South Carolina team, actually played on the road Sunday and couldn't get home yesterday. And so I don't even know if they're back home yet today. So they're trying to do all their work and whatever from their hotel in Mississippi. But yeah, if we can get there, you know, they're not ranked as a top team in the SEC, but they have a couple of athletes that can, if they get hot and if you aren't on your game, they can do some damage. They're really good at defense, and they outdig all of their opponents. And so, you know, you have to really be on your best defensive game.
I know that you're not going to want to use this as an excuse, so you might not want to answer it. But y'all play at Florida on Friday night and then in South Carolina Sunday at noon. That's a pretty quick turnaround for a team to travel, especially if South Carolina, and I don't know this for sure, but if they happen to be at home on Friday, that would be seems to me, and I don't want to call it competitive imbalance, but it seems like a pretty difficult turnaround.
It really is. You know, these trips that they send us on for Friday, Sunday games, they've proven to be pretty challenging. Our first year in the SEC with Friday, Sunday, our team had to adjust, honestly, playing on Sunday. They were used to getting up and at home, going to church, having a day off of, you know, rest and get caught up in school or whatever. So Sunday matches, you know, I've seen some pretty ugly Sunday matches, to tell you the truth, not just from my team, but from a couple of other teams, even the Mississippi team the other day. That they are so much better than how they played, and I think we took them out of a lot of their game. But I also just didn't see the, I don't know, it has a different feel than an evening game, honestly. And so I just feel like for an indoor sport, I don't know, it's for me and for our squad, it is a tough turnaround. You've got to get on flight, get to your new city, get organized, and blow. If you've had a bad performance or a good performance, you still have to, you know, forget about it. And the next match is right on you, and it's an important one. You know, we've only got like 12 left. Maybe 13 or 14, and we're already, you know, kind of counting down. Every single match is incredibly important.
It's over a week away, and we'll, of course, talk to you again next Tuesday, but I thought we'd go ahead and mention it this week so the fans can kind of go ahead and keep it in their mind. Y'all are doing the for the Alabama game, which makes it easy to remember the opponent. Y'all are going to play him on Friday. Football will play him on Saturday, but y'all are doing your the Think Pink or Go Pink game is next Friday. Can you tell the people a little bit about that?
Yeah, we're going to do a Dig Pink match, and all proceeds from sales of T-shirts. We're going to do an auction with football tickets and basketball tickets, all kinds of stuff. And all proceeds are going to go to the Side Out Foundation that supports breast cancer and figuring out how to stop breast cancer, how to prevent breast cancer. And so, we have some players in the past that have had moms that have had it, and we always honor any of the women that are afflicted with it right now at our match. And so anyway, it's a good way to bring recognition to it and to honor it and to raise some money for it.
There you go. So we'll talk more about that next week, but I wanted people to go ahead and put that on their calendar because that is next Friday, the night before the Alabama game for football. Y'all will take on Alabama over there at Reed Arena. Coach, good luck this weekend going on the road. We'll see you back here next week.
Great. Thanks for the time, guys.
There you go. Cease. Always going to talk to Lori Corbelli as they get going. Yeah, the South Carolina thing is interesting. I don't know if you've been keeping up with all that. They're having some football problems.
Yeah, LSU's kind of worried about that game.
Well, they said today, they had a press conference about it today, or at least released a statement today, and South Carolina is considering moving that game to Baton Rouge because they're worried that they can't play it at home. They'd rather play it in another city. Certainly, you'd rather not have to go to LSU's home field if they can avoid it.
Correct.
But the problem is that there's not anywhere really nearby.
Finding a place.
Yeah. I know Atlanta has been mentioned, but there aren't a whole lot of – part of the problem is a lot of the surfaces around there are natural grass, so they don't want to play two games on them for a weekend. I think that's the issue with the stadium in Charlotte of why they can't just play there in North Carolina. So it's an interesting situation to monitor for football.
Game really – LSU needs. They've already lost one game. They can't, and it's a conference game.
Right, and LSU, like you mentioned, I was talking to Sam about that a little bit today. I don't know how the committee would handle a team that's only played 10 games, if potentially, but they don't think they're going to have to cancel this one. South Carolina has even said as a last resort, they'll play it in Baton Rouge. you know, and you would think they would just flip around where that game is going to play the next time they play it. But we'll see. It's certainly an interesting dynamic. One of the things I shouldn't even say interesting because that's not the main story over there.
No, it's not.
But it is something that it is one of the byproducts of the situation over there in South Carolina. So just a thing to keep an eye on throughout the week.
I can remember when A&M went to where it was Clemson. That was during the gas shortage and gone way back in the Fran era. That was a tough game to people to get in and out, and sometimes you have all these things. And
A&M also basically played in a hurricane at Virginia Tech
Virginia
in 2003.
Tech, I didn't go to that game, but yeah, that was that was scary for the people that went to that game. So number one is the people that live there. You worry about the flooding and life, and understand sports is such a minor point, but yet when so much is put into these seasons and these kids put a lot into these games, you want to see if you can get the games in and everything be safe.
All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, Sam will join us. We'll talk A&M. We'll talk SEC and whatever else y'all want to talk about. Hit us up, 229-1939. It's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone 102.7 FM. Texas A&M went to social media to release fall enrollment statistics. On A&M's Twitter feed, an infographic reports more than 61,000 Aggies are on campuses in Brazos County. Compared to last year, it's an increase of 3,300 on the main campus and 124 at the Health Science Center. Bryan police responding to a report of cell phones being stolen wound up discovering a suspicious looking piece of pipe. And Officer Kelly McKeithen says the pipe under the bridge at Highway 47 in Villa Maria affected traffic for more than 2 hours yesterday afternoon.
They shut down the road and called in call station bomb squad just for structural reasons because it was near a structural post. That's one of the reasons why we couldn't let anyone go over 47, or, you know, we didn't want anyone going under 47, so we shut down that whole area. The bomb squad was able to come in. They sent in their remote device to get a look at it. Then they neutralized it and were able to extract that device.
Investigators believe there is no connection between the pipe and the cell phone thefts. Details have been announced for the upcoming Veterans Day program at the Brazos Valley Veterans Memorial. Board member Bill Youngkin says 101 names are being added to the more than 5,000 on the memorial.
All the names are called. If you're present, you would answer like you if you were in mourning formation. If it's someone who's not there, a deceased family member, then the family answers for them. And it's become a very integral part of our program is the roll call.
This year's speaker is retired Marine and former Aggie Yell leader Mike Beggs, class of 1968. And Youngkin says vets are invited to wear their dog tags to the program. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM.
Pink Alliance is excited to announce that October 8th has been declared Paint the Town Pink Day. We invite you to wear pink this Thursday, October 8th, to any of the following restaurants: Rudy's Barbecue, Shipwreck Grill, Texas 21 Saloon, Texas Roadhouse, and The Backyard. And 10% of your bill will be donated to Pink Alliance. Please join us in promoting breast cancer awareness and prevention by painting the town pink this Thursday, October 8th. For more information, please visit our website at pinkalliance.org.
It is time to go back in time. Bud Light invites you to join the fun of the Texas Renaissance Festival beginning Saturday, October the 10th through Sunday, November 29th, including Thanksgiving Friday. Share in the merriment of hundreds of live performances, the taste of over 1,000 foods, and the fun of dozens of games and rides. Only a 50-acre theater could contain this much adventure. Tickets are now on sale at texrenfest.com. Don't miss the legendary revelry of the Texas Renaissance Festival. Brought to you by Bud Light. Huzzah!
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Pioneer Steel, Coldwell Banker Agtown Realtors, Rudy's Barbecue, and Garland Shelton Imports.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
The Brazos Valley Fair and Rodeo means good times and great food. It's more than you imagine. October 16th, 17th, and 18th at the Brazos County Expo. concerts by Charlie Daniels Band, Belgrove Pygmies, and Los Terribles del Norte, free with your paid admission. Discounted tickets and unlimited ride wristbands available until October 11th at Producers Co-op, Cavenders, and online at BrazosValleyFair.com. Parking is free, and kids 3 and under get in free.
Join Gabe and the Tex Aggs crew for Tex Aggs Radio. Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Bobby Bloom, Robert Cessna, sitting around here talking all things A&M, all things Astros, all things Aggie volleyball, anything we can talk about. We're joined now by ESPN.com's Sam Kahn.
First name, Sam.
Yeehaw. Hello, Sam. How are you?
Sam, how are you?
Samwise the Brave.
Last name, Kahn.
Kahn.
Sam Kahn.
Thank you.
Am I am.
I want to hear more about Sam.
The roughest, toughest, he-man, stuffest hombre has ever crossed the Rio Grande.
Now, Sam Kahn.
Sam, welcome back to the show. How you doing today?
I'm excellent. I, on the way in, hearing that old school Astros song before the second segment,
yeah.
I haven't heard that song in a long time.
Yeah.
That was a nice song to take me back a little bit.
Yeah, the Go-Go Astros.
Yeah.
Rob, the theme to our music today, if I don't know if people can pick up on it.
I know, right?
It's hard to decipher.
Boy, way to rip the listeners.
Sometimes it's hard to pick up on, but I think they'll probably get today's. Sam, anything stick out to you during the press conference today? You know, we're all going between the lines. One thing we talked about in the first segment, I don't know if you were already in your car yet and could hear that, but we talked about, to me, the one thing that stood out today is how much they like throwing last year's, not necessarily the team itself, but one particular player and the mental, you know, makeup of the team just completely under the bus. I mean, it was like they basically have said, we messed it up last year and learned a lot, and now we're trying to do better this year, which is a big admission, I think, from a coaching staff to basically admit that they didn't get it right a year ago.
I have a favorite saying that I use when I talk to people who get upset about me saying something, and I say, stop me when I'm lying.
Yeah.
They're not lying.
No.
You know, and so, I mean, does it sound interesting? Yeah, but, I mean, I don't think they're telling us anything we don't know. It is interesting to hear the admissions from the coaching staff, but, you know, hindsight's 20/20, and you have a lot of time removed from then and now to evaluate what happened last year, but I think it's very clear that that team was immature, that the team was inexperienced, and I think that they got complacent before when they were at this point, when they were at 5-0, and I think they were very complacent. And I think this coaching staff this season and the group of guys who went through that last year have hammered at the point of not being complacent and you know, finding things to still be critical of and to not be feeling too good about where you are, because they've got Alabama and Ole Miss after this bye week and back-to-back weeks, and so that's nothing nice. So I think they had, theirs is a different team. I wrote a column today about why I thought A&M was different. There's several different reasons, but I think maturity is about as big of them as any.
Someone texted, they said, I love how Chavis referred to LSU as that other school. And he did that on a question about Donovan Wilson. And we talked about this yesterday. And you hate comparing guys to some of the great players, because then it puts, you know, that's not necessarily, you know, saying that you think that player is as good as that other player. But we, a little bit yesterday, mentioned that Donovan Wilson's ability to find the football and get it away from the other team was a little Tyrann Mathieu-esque. Well, today, John Chavis just jumped right in the pool on that quote. on that analogy. So now I guess it's fair game to compare Donovan Wilson to Tyrann Mathieu. But the thing about Chavis that sticks out to me, earlier in the season, before the season, when he said, you know, we've got the best two defensive ends in the country, and we're a talented team and all this kind of stuff, I thought part of that was trying to instill confidence in his guys. That, you know, when I go out there, I have no problem saying you guys are great because I think y'all are going to be great, all that kind of stuff. But the thing is, he's been right. It wasn't like he was lying to us about these guys, right?
No, he has been correct. And, I mean, Dan Mullen said it after the game the other night. He said that, you know, when their Mississippi State press conference after the game, which I went to before I went over to someone's, someone had asked him about, you know, some of the run game struggles and you know, the offense stagnated a couple times. He's like, it's tough when you're going up against the two best defensive ends in America. And so they've definitely lived up to it. I mean, Myles Garrett is unparalleled. And I thought it was fitting that Chavis brought up that option play.
Yeah, because everyone jumped on that during the game, too.
Because that is an incredible display of athleticism for a defensive end, to play the option pitch and then from the quarterback and then go run and shake and strip the guy who has the football. But Hall obviously is benefiting a lot from it. But I think what's impressed me even more, or maybe it's not impressed, but surprised me more, is the play of Cunningham and Johnson, because they're trusting those guys to go out there on first and second down. I was watching last week, you know, keeping a close eye on the line of scrimmage, and I noticed Quaylen Cunningham and Jarrett Johnson coming in a lot on first and second down on those running type downs, and then leaves Garrett and Hall fresh to come in for a third and, you know, third and long or third down passing situation. And I think that, as much as anything, has helped their effectiveness, because they're not out there for 80 snaps. You know, they're out there for 50 snaps or 40 snaps, and there you're getting 40 or 50 really good snaps as opposed to 80 with some of them, you know, half effort.
The other thing that changed, you know, that has surprised me is the play of the interior line. And it's one thing to have good defensive ends. You could have the best defensive ends in the country, but if the opponent can run right through the A-gap, it doesn't matter. They can't do that. Now, I thought the interior line, and none of those guys are probably going to be all-conference, but Daylon Mack will probably be freshman all-conference, I would imagine. But I thought Julian Obioha, Zach Owen Henderson, Daylon Mack, these guys have had a good season, and they're a part of the reason why they've had the success they've had on defense. I do think it's funny, and I mentioned this during the press conference on Twitter, that it's funny, we talk about the A&M defense, and it's statistically very mediocre. I mean, points per game, yards per game, yards per play, turnovers gained, they're all, you know, in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. But the thing that I was saying on there is that's not necessarily running them down. Mediocre is a long way from where they used to be. And
when they were in the 90s and 100s,
yeah,
and everything?
Right, the 50s and 60s. And we talked about this before the season. A&M's defense never has to be great.
No.
It just has to be good enough. And we talked about this yesterday, that I think they are good enough. I think that for what they need to do, they've been that so far this season.
No, they have. And I think the biggest differences in my eyes have been, I think they've cut down the big plays allowed. You know, I ran the numbers. Against the first three Power 5 opponents they played last year, they gave up 19 plays of 20 or more yards. This year, against the first three Power 5 opponents they've played, they've given up 9. They're also averaging a sack more per game, 4.3 sacks per game, 3.4 last year. So that pressure and cutting down the big plays, and also with the turnovers, you know, getting some of those key turnovers, especially at the times in this particular game against Mississippi State, that early second half was a chance for them to get back in this game, and they turned it over twice, and that was huge for A&M, and you have to give A&M credit because they went and poked the ball out. It wasn't like Mississippi State was just laying it on the ground. I mean, especially the one with Garrett. Garrett comes from behind and gets that. So, no, they don't have to be great. There still are issues. I mean, the linebackers are an issue because of depth and health. You know, run defense is an issue because of the linebacker issues and the aggressiveness of Garrett and Hall. Those things are going to be addressed and maybe to some point exposed by Alabama and Ole Miss. But I think they're good enough on the back end in the secondary, and they're good enough and deep enough up front to where that can help mask some of those issues and gives the offense a chance to get, you know, get its feet under it and get some points on the board. And I think now more than ever, it's not a team, an offense carrying a team. I think it's a real team.
An average defense in a lot of statistical areas is great improvement from last year, but two areas they're really good in, 21 of 71 in third downs. They're in the 20s in the nation in the forced turnovers. Last year, only 13. They've had four in the last two games. So that's two areas this defense is much better than the defense last 2 years.
Yeah, and that's the one thing we talked about before the year is much better didn't necessarily mean they were going to be one of the best in the country. It just meant they were going to be a whole lot better than they used to be. And I don't know. Like to me, the stats are just funny. Cause, and I'm not hating on anyone that says the A&M defense has done a great job because relatively they have. And I'm right there with everyone else that, you know, if you're giving out grades for midterms or whatever, John Chavis gets an A for what he's done with the Aggie defense. I just think it's funny how great we all think that they've been doing, or not great that they've been doing, but great that the coaching staff has done this year. And yet statistically they're only like pretty good. But like we've said, that's good enough. That's fine.
That they didn't, like I said, they didn't have to be great. They had to be decent.
But that also goes back to it's always going to be that way because A&M's offense is going to be so good, they're going to score so quick. This Chavis defense is always going to be on the field more than his defenses were at LSU and Tennessee.
Yeah, and
so
that's why
you can't look at those stats.
Yeah, for A&M, I don't look at things like total yardage because that doesn't matter. It's things like yards per play, third down conversion rate, things like that are what I try to look at because opponents for A&M do run so many plays that their aggregate stats get thrown off a little bit, especially now. And we talked about this yesterday on the show, Sam, and I'd like to get your thoughts on this. Maybe we might go to break and come back and get your thoughts. Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. I'll tell you what, we'll go to break and then come back. And I'll get your thoughts on this. But I want to know if you think that A&M's defensive success or, you know, how much better they've gotten has affected their offensive play calling, especially in the second half. I want to talk about that when we come back. Keep sending your text, 229-1939, as the self-scouting edition of Aggie Nation keeps going. Stay with us. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagles. Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Pink Alliance is excited to announce that October 8th has been declared Paint the Town Pink Day. We invite you to wear pink this Thursday, October 8th, to any of the following restaurants. Amico Nave, Blue Baker, both locations, Brow House at Murphy's Law, C&J's Barbecue, all locations, and Cafe Excel. And 10% of your bill will be donated to Pink Alliance. Please join us in promoting breast cancer awareness and prevention by painting the town pink this Thursday, October 8th. For more information, please visit our website at pinkalliance.org.
Welcome to the season that dreams are made of. The stars have aligned for a positively enchanting new Opus season. The main stage lineup features Beauty and the Beast, sponsored by Aggieland Credit Union, Million Dollar Quartet, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Disney in Concert, magical music from the movies, and an opening night concert starring Voice Play, sponsored by Allstate. Season and single tickets on sale now at mscopus.org.
Green Teams welcomes the Texas A&M University Construction Science Department to its family of customers. Like many other businesses, Texas A&M's Construction Science Department uses Green Teams for interior landscaping. Green Teams also offers short-term plant rentals for events like weddings and conferences. Make your work environment more pleasant with plants. For more information about interior landscaping, call Susie Gallagher with Green Teams, 823-7551. Green Teams.
Attention parents with special needs children. Power Sports is now offering a special needs competitive cheerleading team, and it's completely free. Power Sports' new special needs program is a great way to get your child involved in activities which will help them improve on motor skills, communication, team building exercises, and more. For more information on the Power Sports special needs program, call Power Sports at 979-776-0018 or check them out on the web at powersportskids.com.
If you're a high school senior, join your classmates and commit to attending all of your classes this year.
At the end of the school year, Atkinson Toyota Scion is giving away a new Scion, or you could win one of many scholarships.
Details online and on Facebook.
Hi, Gabe Bach here from TexAgs Radio. And if you're not currently a premium or varsity level subscriber to TexAgs.com, what are you waiting for? TexAgs.com is the inside source for all things Aggie sports, the leaders in breaking news coverage, in-depth analysis, recruiting scoop, and more. Whether it's exclusive long-form interviews with Aggie players and coaches or inside on the next big recruit on his way to Aggieland, nobody covers A&M like TexAgs. Jump on board now and don't miss out on the very best in A&M sports coverage. It's TexAgs.com.
The next Spirit Stop brought to you by Buppy's Catering is this Friday at Aggie Soccer. The Aggies look for their fourth SEC win of the year as they host the Alabama Crimson Tide. And Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM will be at Ellis Field at 6 p.m. an hour before kickoff. Stop by the Zone tent to say howdy and sign up for a free care pack. Spirit Stops are brought to you by Buppy's Catering. Find more information on the events tab at zone1150.com.
Hi, everybody. I'm Archie Bell of the Drills of Houston, Texas. We don't only sing, but we dance just as good as we want. In Houston, we just started a new dance called the Tighten Up.
This is the
welcome back. We tighten up with
Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna, Sam Kahn. We're hanging out. Sam, we got about 5 minutes before the big break, and then we'll come back and have more topics in the second hour. But the thing that we were talking about a little bit after the game, and then, you know, just since then and at the press conference today, is it looks to me like if they don't trust their defense completely, the A&M coaches at least trust it enough that in the second half, they aren't, you know, especially this Mississippi State game, they looked like they had decided, you know, as long as we don't turn this thing over, the game is over. They're not going to be able to score enough points, even if we don't score. And I think that the quality of defense has influenced their play calling a little bit, especially when they have a lead in the second half of games. Do you think that that's true, or do you think that this has more to do with what they're trying to do on offense right now?
No, I think it's true. I thought you saw it in the Arizona State game. I thought you saw the way they continue to run Trey Carson. And I think the emphasis on the running game has been partially because of that, too, is they can win the game more than one way now. They used to have to outscore you. They don't have to do that anymore. And I think it's interesting, and I think you have to give some credit to this staff for doing that, because a lot of coaches have their way, and that's it, you know, come hell or high water. If we go up-tempo, that's why you see spread teams, so many spread teams that have trouble running clock in the fourth quarter when they need to, if they're up, like, say, two scores and there's 5 minutes left. When I was watching TCU and Texas Tech a couple weeks ago, for instance, Texas Tech was up, and it was like 5 minutes left or 4 minutes left, and they have the ball, and they went three and out, and they had thrown the ball twice because they don't have a, quote-unquote, four-minute offense. Well, they do, but it's not as effective as it is for a traditional team like your Alabamas of the world who can really grind the clock down. So I think it is – it's a little bit of the evolution of this staff and this team in recognizing how you're going to have to win football games, and there's going to be a lot of games in the SEC where you're not going to put 40 points on the board. You're not going to get every big play that you want against an Alabama or an LSU, and you're going to have to find ways to grind games out, and I think establishing and emphasizing the running game, moving the chains that way, I think that's a reflection on it, because some games you're just going to have to say, you know what, we're going to have to let our defense win the game for us.
Another thing I thought was interesting today, because we talked about it yesterday, Cease, and that was, I talked to Sam about it after the game too, I wasn't a huge fan of A&M using Christian Kirk in the Wildcat, because we've said before, they've got a perfect Wildcat quarterback in Kyler Murray, and I don't like Christian Kirk taking those extra hits, but I thought what Spav said today was interesting, and that's that one of their points of emphasis in this game was keeping the same personnel on the field so that they didn't have so that Mississippi State couldn't substitute. I thought that was an interesting explanation, because I hadn't considered that over why they were doing what they were doing on Saturday, but they wanted to keep the guys that Mississippi State had out there, and so they did some personnel things they don't normally do in order to keep all those guys on the field. I thought that was interesting today too, as far as things we actually picked up in the press conference that you go, oh, I didn't realize that or whatever.
I found that interesting, because I wonder, and I think, see, something you and I talked about this after the press conference, was that if you're going to do that, why not have Kyler start a drive?
Have him start a drive when you could put Kirk back there in the Wildcat and have Murray in the slot or back with him. I think that would be, if you're going to do that, I still think that I wonder why Murray didn't take some snaps.
Well, I'm not saying I completely necessarily agree with it.
Because they don't tell you everything.
But at least it did. At least it made
sense.
It did make some sense. Yeah, because I still am not a huge fan. It's less of how good Murray is at it than it is for me. You know, I know you want to get Christian Kirk the ball as often as possible, but as a freshman, we talk about that, and someone talks about it every week, the mental and physical wall that freshman hit. I would want him taking as few hits as possible on plays that probably aren't going to go for big yardage. I mean, I know that the Wildcat can, but if you're lining him up in the backfield, everyone on the field knows he's probably about to run with it. I mean, if Christian Kirk throws it, then the defense is going to go, okay, we didn't see that coming. We'll change next time. But that's the thing. It's more so to me the skill level of the two guys, and more I wouldn't want Kirk taking those extra hits for a young player. But at least, like you said, it made sense. I get what they were trying to do now, at least a little bit. So, I don't know. We'll see. Well, hit us up, 229-1939. What sort of topics y'all want to hit on in the second hour? Questions for me, Cease, Khan, let us know. We'll come back, and we may talk a little more A&M. Since A&M's off, we may just go ahead and start talking about other teams, because, Sam, it's been a couple wild weekends of college football, and there's some teams that have looked brilliant and then horrible the next week. It's been an interesting few weeks, so we might get your thoughts more on the national scene. So, again, hit us up, 229-1939, with the questions and topics y'all want to talk about, or your comments, your takes, those sort of things. Someone asked, someone said they've picked on us long enough. Could you say your Twitter handle on the air? I'm Aubrey R. Bloom. Khan is S. Khan Jr., and I think you